Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Keep listening as we get you ready for the game, right up to kickoff. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station, WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
Score update studio brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants. Do it today. No Jaquan Brisker for the Bears Sunday against the Packers. And how long will he be out? We've got Brad Biggs to address that and much more next right here on the Mully and Haw Show. Packers, Bears, Sunday, Soldier Field. Packers 5.5-point favorites. Total is 40.5 per our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois. Last night, week 11 of the NFL got underway. Saquon Barkley rushing for 2 fourth quarter touchdowns. The Eagles taking care of the Commanders 26-18. Right here on the Score tonight, 6:15 pregame. Bulls at the 13-0 Cavaliers. And the Blackhawks, they fell to the Kraken 3-1 in Seattle. This hour, it's brought to you by Rally House in Wrigleyville.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And like all our guests, he joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Bears are time to play now, right? Haven't we been through all of it? Do you have a list of who gets fired or the name of the player cut every Monday? How is this going to work?
Well, I'll tell you what. They need to get back to the business football. They need to get back on the field, and we're getting closer to that. The only way to put some of this behind them is to go out there and get a win, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is the ultimate deodorizer, and they need a victory in the worst way, especially in this instance against the Green Bay Packers, who have won 10 in a row in the series, 25 of the last 30 meetings, including the postseason. And just looking at the situation in the division, like, this is a gotta have it ball game.
So, Brad, you're Thomas Brown. You sit down with Caleb Williams. You talk about what you want to do. You're the offensive coordinator of a struggling offense. What does your to-do list look like in terms of priorities, 1 through 3 or 4?
Well, I think just looking to the game, you want to get the ball out of his hands more quickly, more efficiently than they have been. You want to immediately start reducing the number of sacks and the number of hits that he's taken. So schematically, what play calls are going to fit for that? What type of things could they do in terms of getting them on the move a little bit? Chris Beatty, the wide receivers coach yesterday, talked about, simple things to get the ball out quick so it's not him going through 3 progressions, right? Things that are going to take longer. I think that's the number one thing is getting the ball out of his hands quicker, trying to reduce the number of hits that he's taking. And then I think you got to run the football. You have to establish the run. Like, it is going to be really difficult for him to grow and develop when he's got to be a drop back passer 35 plus times a game because the run game isn't there and they're chasing. Like, they got to be able to run the football a little bit and find some connections that you feel against the coverage you're going to get from the Packers. They've been playing more man, I think. Hey, here's a pretty good play call to get something dialed up for DJ Moore. Here's something to get Cole Kmet involved early. Like, they've just done such a just abysmal job of involving some of their top targets that maybe Thomas Brown will have a solution for that. But if we think that we're going to see the Bears offense run 65 plays on Sunday and we're going to be able to walk away from it and say, hey, yeah, it's fixed. They got rid of Waldron and everything's good. The chances of that happening, because we're going to be looking at a very small sample size, one football game, four quarters, very small.
All right. So, Brad, here's the thing. Like, we, you know, maybe you've got a good idea for it. What is the formula that leads them to victory? I mean, they obviously have to win the turnover, but this is like basic stuff. They got to figure out a way to not get the quarterback sacked. They got to get the ball out. They got to move the chain. I mean, it is 10 losses in a row to these guys. It is hard to come up with the way in which they're going to dominate this football game and win a game.
Well, when we get away from kind of the drama and the turnover and the change and all the stuff the Bears have had going on here that isn't directly related to this football game, the first place I start is that Green Bay Packers rushing attack, okay, and which has been fantastic to this point. Third in the league, nearly 155 yards rushing a game. They're fourth in the league in yards per carry, 4.98. Josh Jacobs, who you saw the contract that he got from Green Bay back in March, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of money. He's fourth in the league in rushing coming into this week. He's got 762 yards rushing. And through 9 weeks, that's the most by a Packers running back since Amon Green back in 2004. So they are pounding the ball up front. They won back-to-back games earlier in the season with Malik Willis at quarterback.
Yep.
Doing nothing but running the football. It was everybody in the stadium knew that they were going to be one-dimensional. And they went out and they ran the ball anyway and won. And you've seen Matt LaFleur, who's 10-0 against the Chicago Bears, with a quarterback advantage in every single one of those 10 meetings, just decide to pound the ball against the Bears before. Like, four times he's done that where you walk away from the game and it was a run-heavy Packers attack. So with the Bears' run defense, as it is, no Andrew Billings, who I thought the run defense was okay last week against the Patriots. That certainly was not the reason they lost that football game. I would expect the Packers to look to dominate at the point of attack.
Brad, on Thursday, the Bears placed Jaquan Brisker on injured reserve. Do you expect Brisker to play again this year? And was Ryan Poles slow for responding in responding and waiting till now to open up that roster spot?
Well, we got a couple things there. Do I think we'll see Brisker again? I'd advise anyone against trying to handicap how things are going to go for players with head injuries. Like, you just don't know. And he's eligible to come back after the next four games. The reality will be that if he does get that designated to return to practice after missing the next four games, it's going to take at least a couple weeks from a ramp-up standpoint, for him to be able to play physically with, you know, the rest of his body, because he will have missed so much football, I would think. So I don't even want to venture a guess, and I would advise others that, you know, it's probably not a great exercise, because you just don't know. Like, why did they wait till now to put him on IR? I think that obviously they felt like this wasn't going to take as long. But there's no MRI to read for this. There's, you know, the athletic trainer and the doctor can't get together and look at a soft tissue injury and say, with a high degree of accuracy, this is a 4 to 6 week injury. This is a 2 to 3 week injury, which they can do for so much stuff that these players encounter. You can't do that for a concussion. Why didn't they put him on IR earlier? Well, they didn't need the roster spot. They've got a place, a handful of guys is inactive each week. They've got flexibility in terms of promoting players from the practice squad on a weekly basis. So nothing was really screaming, hey, they got to have this roster spot. Elijah Hicks has filled in pretty well for a former seventh-round pick in his place. And, you know, it's unfortunate. The biggest takeaway should be hopefully Jaquan's in a position where he feels okay sooner rather than later. I saw him in the locker room twice this week. I saw him yesterday. I saw him Wednesday. And I hadn't seen him with regularity before this week. And that doesn't mean he hadn't been in the building. I hadn't put eyes on him. So he is around. He's engaged. And, you know, maybe with some good fortune, he'll be feeling better in the near future.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. We were talking about the kind of, is it an absurdity, whatever it was that Xavier McKinney felt DJ Moore somehow disrespected him and the things he, how will that matchup impact the game, Brad?
Yeah, well, McKinney's been playing fantastic for them, by the way.
We know you love this stuff, Brad.
Yeah.
The trash talk. Well, what DJ Moore did wasn't very defensible, okay? Like, I don't think you'll hear a lot of Bears teammates say, oh, yeah, that was cool, right? Like, I mean, we talked about it after it happened. You don't want to put that on film, right? You don't want to do that. And McKinney picked up on it, obviously, and he's like, hey, I've never seen that before. Well, who has? Who has seen it before? How will it manifest itself in the game? Hopefully, everything stays between the whistles, and we'll go from there. But, you know, this ought to motivate DJ Moore, though, right? Like, and he hasn't had a ton of opportunities here, just based on how the ball's coming to him. But, you know, is anything McKinney said not true?
Yeah, but I mean...
easily offended he is.
That's all I'm saying.
Very easily. A little touchy,
DJ,
Brad.
What DJ said in the offseason was utterly harmless, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, he's, you know, like, we'll see. And it's, you know, the Packers have been able to talk for the longest time. Remember, you know, they'd
stop them. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, Charles Woodson used to... You know, he'd have a crack or a one-liner about Jay Cutler, right? And there's only one way for the Bears to turn this, and that's to start winning with regularity in the series.
And the only way that happens on Sunday, Brad, I think, is if you want to find a pathway to victory for the Bears, it's got to include both tackles playing and playing well, and Montez Sweat being in the lineup and disrupting that offense for the Packers. Is Sweat, Braxton Jones, and Darnell Wright, are they all goes as far as you're concerned?
Oh, I would assume they're all go, yeah. Like, I think it's certainly tracking that way for the offensive tackles. Braxton having missed the last two games, and Darnell won, and then Montez Sweat was limited in practice yesterday, which was a good sign. We'll see later today if Tevin Jenkins, who's missed 2 days with his latest ankle issue, is able to play. Like, he's been able to get to Sunday this season. He just hasn't been able to finish enough ball games, but maybe he's in the mix there as well. Or they go with, you know, Ryan Bates, who came back and played every snap this past week against the Patriots. But a path to victory, I agree. The tackles have got to be out there. Sweat's got to be out there. Jordan Love has given the ball to the opponent more times than they're probably comfortable with in Green Bay this season. Bears would have to take advantage of that. They would have to win on special teams. Can they pull this off? I mean, it's possible, right? The margin for error is slim for them, I think, but it's the NFL. Anything can happen. Maybe the Packers coming off a bye, right? They're rested coming into this. Look at all the noise coming out of Lake Forest, and don't prepare with the attention to detail that's necessary. I mean, that happens to teams every once in a while, but I think the Bears are a long shot. I saw one place yesterday the line had come down to about 5.5, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if the Bears – I would have thought the bounce back spot would have happened. Yeah, I really thought that was going to take place, and we've just seen them so flat in both games since the loss at Washington.
So you're picking the Packers? What's your pick?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, 25 out of the last 30, until further notice, you know, like, I'm not going to be fooled in this Bears-Packers thing again. They're going to have to prove it for me to decide it's time to start picking the other side. I picked the Packers to win 27-17, and I think I was a little generous with the 17. Maybe there's some more energy on offense with the change in coordinators gives them a little bump there. But I would think right now the Packers will be north of 160 rushing yards, and if they're able to execute on the ground, you would imagine that we'll open up some play action passing opportunities for Jordan Love.
It doesn't sound like much of a Thomas Brown bump, Brad. It sounds like a Thomas Brown
17
out.
Would be 17 with two offensive touchdowns, Dave.
That's not an explosion. That's not a big deal, Brad. That's not a lot.
Compared to where they've been the last 3 weeks, that's a big deal, my friend.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, know. Like, we were talking about it. So in the off season, or I guess in training camp, whatever it was, Montez Sweat said he was tired of losing to the Packers. You know, a guy like that would need to put on like a King Kong show. You know, you'd need, honestly, you'd need like, and unfortunately, with
two sacks, a forced fumble,
minimum two sacks.
Yeah,
yeah, big turnover.
Go crazy. Yeah.
No question. Or you know, whether it's a strip sack or whether you force a pick, but you know, I mean, as we were just talking about, you'd need like a defensive touchdown or a big special teams play, or yeah, I mean, you just have to come up with something special. And they have, as you say, since that failed Mary, they've had no life to them. I don't know how to define it, but man, is it it's just sad.
Did the Commanders play an inordinate number of games against Green Bay when Sweat was there? Because he was around for one of those meetings last year. The first meeting last season was in week one. He was, mm-hmm. Like, if he's tired of losing.
Yeah, imagine how everyone else is.
He lost the finale, right? That was the one up at Lambeau.
Right.
He was part of that.
Yeah, you had to, hey, Montez, you had to go check with the chairman. His name's George. Ask him how he feels about losing to the Packers.
I'm sure that George gave Montez Sweat a urinal cake with the Packers logo on it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, those, wow. You look around the area and you'll find out where George has been dining.
Well, do something about it then, you know? They have to do something about it. You are the chairman. You have presided over, this is, what, the ninth or tenth offensive coordinator that he has seen call plays while during his tenure. Five coaches, four general managers. Enough with it.
Yeah, they got to go. They. That's what I said at the open when you had me out. They've got to go out and turn this around with a victory, yeah. and a really well played game where they lose by 2 points. You're going to be happy with some improvements that had them in a tight ball game, but a loss is going to be a loss.
You know, Brad, and you know, thanks for jumping on, and we always appreciate your time. But just on the way out, let me just tell you that I think we all understand that. We all know how big a game this is and how much they could change things. And how. But then when it comes time to figuring out how they do that, we all go like,
It's the mental gymnastics that are required, and you're just you can't play Twister in your head quite like that, right? You know?
You're right, Brad.
You're right, buddy. You'll pull
Joe Fortenbaugh bought 740 or 745.
Yeah. You got it. You got it.
740, Brad.
Hey, are you going to watch the fight?
Yeah. I think I have to, right? Yeah, I'm just hoping it's not a deal where you get halfway through watching it, you realize that these guys had some wink-wink going on.
That would never happen.
Not in the fine sport of boxing. And I'm really curious, like, what time are they actually
gonna go off,
gonna fight? Yeah, like
it'd be probably honestly
11:15,
like 11 o'clock. Yeah.
See, now that's a buzzkill.
Take a nap.
This undercard, I have no interest in.
No,
but I do want to see because I want to see Iron Mike, and he at one point he was the baddest man on the planet, right?
Oh, I think we remember those days. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad. See you Sunday.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Caleb is very smart. We just got to help our offense, like to say, to put us in a better situation, and we just got to play better. You know, we just got to play better collectively, and we just got to stay ahead of the change. NFL, you don't stay ahead of the change, it's hard. You know, it's hard.
So he's making good decisions? He's making good decisions at the line?
He's making good decisions at the line. We got to help him, and like now, just, hey, just get the ball out of his hand, you know, slow his eyes down so he sees things a little bit better, wants post-snap. You know, but, you know, at the line of scrimmage, things that we've asked him to do, he's done a great job.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. That's Kerry Joseph, and he's talking about Caleb Williams and what he's seeing at the line of scrimmage and how they got to slow down everything he's looking at. David, I mean, we kind of spoke about this earlier. I really believe that as simple as you can make it, it will help a ton. Because whatever way they're playing now, there is nothing natural about the way the guy is playing. There is, like, it's very, you can almost see him thinking and working.
He's tentative.
And he's really changed as a quarterback.
Too careful.
Too careful with what he's doing.
Yeah.
Too consumed with not turning the ball over.
He is paint by numbers. You want him to be more abstract.
Let him rip, man.
Let him rip.
And that's the only way you can win against the team.
If you're
like
Thomas Brown, that's the conversation that you have with Caleb Williams. You sit him down, you ask him what he likes, and then you remind him, look, you're only here because of the way you played in college, the way you played in high school, the way you played to become the kind of quarterback worthy of being the first overall pick. You didn't get here by being careful.
Where is his accuracy going?
I don't know.
I mean, isn't that weird?
But I think when it's all related. When you talk about guys who are tentative, think pitchers who aim the ball.
Right.
They lose control. Yeah, so quarterbacks is very similar. So if you're trying to be the perfect throw with the perfect release, because it, and you're trying also, maybe you're under pressure, it's all led to a very disappointing first half of the season, which brings me to a question.
Sure.
So they are playing the Packers, obviously. Jordan Love comes in here, pretty accomplished as a quarterback. He, last year in his first season as a starter, and I know it's not apples and apples because Jordan Love did watch for a couple years under Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers left and Jordan Love took over, and he struggled his first half of the season. Much like I think Caleb Williams struggled the first half of this season at times. You saw good things, but mostly it was overshadowed by the bad. Jordan Love, then the second half of last year, we all remember, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. What would it take Caleb Williams to make a similar kind of rebound? And do you think that's unrealistic to expect from him now?
Well, I think it would take help. And I think it's unrealistic to expect him to get the kind of help it would take. I think that as much as, you know, we look at Matt LaFleur, he comes from that, you know, wasn't he on staff in Washington when Shanahan was there?
Shanahan,
McVay, Kyle O'Connell. Shanahan, yeah, Kevin O'Connell, all these guys,
all that brain power,
all these young, smart coaches.
He's a stud.
Were together, Shanahan.
So you think that because of LaFleur,
his influence, he did a very good job of developing the quarterback, of bringing him along. See, I haven't seen any of that with this season. Here's what I've seen. I've seen Caleb Williams have flashes and moments, and where you thought like, "Hey, this is really going to be good," but we haven't seen one in three games, and we've seen a change in terms of now. He's got, you know, even starting the game, right? You figure all you got to do is get ahead of the chains. All you got to do, put yourself in good position so you can convert a third down. Instead, sailing the ball to the sidelines. It's just inaccurate.
It's been bad to watch. And
you know,
difficult.
That's what happens. Your basic quarterback, it breaks down. So as you say, when you're aiming the ball, instead of planting your feet and getting yourself set, it's frustrating.
So whatever it was that they did with Jordan Love last year to turn his season around, obviously partly it was his talent, but it sounds like you're crediting, and I'm saying this is probably the correct way to look at it, the coaching he received or the way that they adjusted game plans or just his experience. Matt LaFleur deserves as much credit as Jordan Love for his turnaround?
I think Matt LaFleur deserves a lot of credit. I also think that Jordan Love, sitting behind Rodgers, waiting his turn, it's a totally different situation. He was an inexperienced quarterback, if you hear where I'm going.
Well, that's interesting because that's also suggesting that Caleb Williams isn't like so many rookies. And I think that's true, but we did not treat him. And frankly, the only thing that matters is the Bears did not treat him like so many rookies.
No.
They gave him immediate responsibility, immediate autonomy, and they relied on him to do a lot of things that not ordinary rookies do typically. He had such a vast amount of responsibility at the line of scrimmage, and I think he almost had too much.
And I think that's what I heard from that quote that we played coming in, is that they're going to take some of that away.
They're going to dial it down a little
bit. They have to.
Yeah, I think they have to.
And
I think
they
got to
simplify it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shane Waldron probably was as responsible for doing that as anybody. And it's a tough balance to strike because I think part of us, I think we both were kind of like, oh, wow, this is great. Caleb Williams, they trust him so much. He's so savvy. He comes in with the easy confidence, and he's already mastered what other quarterbacks have failed at early. But as it turns out, it was too much too soon.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes perfect sense. Doesn't mean he can't turn his season around. But see, like, as I was saying, you know, if you want to beat the Packers, then he needs to become the quarterback you hope he'll be in two more years.
I think that's true.
In order to win this game.
Sunday's game specifically.
That's what I'm saying.
And the second half of the season, I think, it's a good point. He does not have Matt LaFleur or a guy like that in his corner, but you could argue he's got better weapons than Jordan Love did last year in the second half of the season.
I still would love to have that conversation because, you know, David, here's the thing. When I looked at this game and we knew we were making our picks, and I hadn't spent a lot of time on Green Bay. And then the last couple of days I did. And I think the thing that I've seen is that they look like they have a better receiving core than the Bears. And so we've been bragging about how great the Bears receiving core is and how everybody, and you even said that that DJ Moore is capable of taking over a game like he did in Washington last year. It's just how they're going to get the ball to him.
It's a fair comment, because right now the Bears receivers do have the better reputation, but the Packers receivers have the better results.
Yeah.
I'd rather have results over reputation.
Well, they look faster. They look like they're more
effective. They're getting open. They're catching balls. The Bears' downfield passing game is still a rumor.
It doesn't exist. And we can blame all sorts of things. I don't know how you get out of that. I don't. And I think the problem with this game is that the Packers have the better running game. The Bears' run defense was bad when they had everybody healthy. And now that they've lost their best run stopper.
Well, you go to the defense side of the ball and you start to have that conversation. And it's not an exaggeration, and it's not being overly cynical or skeptical. You have to agree. You don't have to agree. Objectively speaking, you put on the tape, the Packers' defense is better than the Bears right now. Because of health, because of what they're doing with the takeaways.
So is their run game, and so is their deep threat.
So they have so many factors that the Bears just don't have or not have consistently developed this season. It's hard to look at this game and when you remove emotion from the equation, it's hard to make a football argument that the Bears can beat the Packers.
No, it's really, that's the problem I had. I wanted to pick the Bears to win the game. I just couldn't come up with a football way of doing it. I couldn't even come up with a scenario. You know, here's the kind of things I'm thinking about. If you look at Jordan Love, like every quarterback, by the way, not as good under pressure, right? So the Bears need to dial up some Kyler Gordon blitz or something to get to him, to force a turnover. They need to come up. Flusi needs his best game as a defensive coordinator.
That's the path.
And I don't know.
I don't know that he can.
I don't know that he's got it.
I don't know that he has it because
I don't know that he's got the horses. We'll see. We'll see if how Sweat is, if he can still dominate, if he's still demanding double teams. He will demand double teams. But I don't know where he's at in terms of being the multiplier you need him to be.
Well, you need him to get in the backfield.
You got to live in the backfield.
Jordan Love, his passer rating when under pressure, I think, is 51.
Compared to what, though?
Compared to over 100.
Over 100 when
so
he's not.
So it's feast or famine.
It is.
And when he is under pressure, he will throw you the football.
And
the trick is finding ways.
Yeah.
Whether it's Montez Sweat or Kyler Gordon or Matt Eberflus dialing up some sort of blitz to surprise a guy who, frankly, in Matt LaFleur, is not going to be surprised schematically.
No.
So when you match wits between a great play caller and an elite defensive play caller that we have called Matt Eberflus, I still don't think that Eberflus has the advantage. Matt LaFleur has earned the benefit of the doubt, and I think he wins this kind of chess game, if you want to call it that, on Sunday.
The Bears are only better. They're only even in terms of the coaching battle if the two guys are at Marquette watching a basketball game.
Because Flusi is better dressed. He's got maybe. Does he have a better haircut?
He's got a barber right there.
I don't know, though. LaFleur's a handsome man.
I mean, I know they fired Shane Waldron. Do you think he got a trim on the way out?
Well, they have two barbers there. Just sitting around doing nothing.
I thought they had two in London. I don't know. They're both sitting around.
They leave them there?
I don't know. I mean, I
surely
don't know.
They
if
flew them back.
They brought a second one over just for the London trip.
Could that be the problem? That since that point, since they went, they've not been the same team.
It's a Samson and Delilah biblical story, is what you're saying.
They got a haircut in London and they never recovered.
All right, we got to get to our guy. We're going to be talking to the great man himself, Joe Fortenbaugh. I cannot wait. I've been waiting all day to talk to all week to see if Joe has an opinion on.
I'm sure he does.
On this fight.
We got to get in line, though. Joe's a busy guy.
I know. Joe's got a ton to do. But David, think about it. If Joe has an opinion, is it possible that suddenly you're digging deep and wagering some of that hard-earned money of yours on maybe taking a
I don't bet on rigged fights.
Yeah, you look to me like a Jake Paul guy.
Do I?
No, I'm totally kidding.
I'm going to slap you.
I know. I have it coming. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
This segment with Joe Fortenbaugh, sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com.
Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. Our guy Joe Fortenbaugh knows everything about sports. He's forgotten more about gambling than most people have ever learned. And he joins us as all our guests do here, thanks to Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Joseph, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Packers week, boys. All business. Packers week. Time to get right. Time to get focused. I'm sure everyone in Chicago very positive heading into this installment of one of the NFL's great rivalries. Let's get it together now.
It's been a positive week, Joe. You know Chicago. You know what's been going on. Let's get started. We don't have a lot of time, but let's get started with the NFL this weekend.
All right, so I'm going to start with the Bears. I'm going to be honest with you. The sharp money's on Chicago. I know people think that's crazy. Opened as a 6-point dog. It's getting bet down a little bit. The number is simply too high. Now, if it's too rich for your blood in terms of getting involved with this team right now, it's completely understandable. But if you're looking at Green Bay thinking this is a smash because the Bears are down, guys in Vegas, they're not looking at teams. They're looking at numbers. This number is too high. The Packers turn the ball over too often. Jordan Love's been sloppy. There's an opportunity there with Chicago. Pittsburgh +3. You take the underdog in the rivalry between Tomlin and Harbaugh. It's something like 26-3-3 since those two have gotten together. The dog cashes since 2015, 15-2-1 against the spread. Pittsburgh's at home. They're catching the 3. The Baltimore pass defense is the worst unit on the field. I would take the Steelers there. Cleveland +1. Yuck. They're at the Saints, but they're off the bye. They're fully healthy. Saints coming off that big win last week with the new coach. This is where teams tend to fall flat. Denver -2 over Atlanta. Falcons have a little bit of that Fugazi blood in them. Denver shows up every single week. They play very good defense. Knicks continues to get better. Denver should probably be laying the full 3 at home here. Seattle +6.5 over the Niners. Seahawks coming off their bye. They're in a situation where they're getting a little bit healthy. Spread's pretty big given how the Niners have performed this season. A lot of points for divisional rivalry. Chiefs +2. I think the game should be closer to pick 'em. The Butker injury worries me, but Buffalo's won 5 straight against teams that are like 16-31. None of them have a winning record. And then the Bengals Sunday night +1.5. This is the best offense the Chargers have faced all year. Everyone's talking about how great the Charger defense is. They're very, very good, but they're padding the stats. This is a big step up. So to recap, Steelers +3, Browns +1, Denver -2, Seattle +6.5. Chiefs +2, Bengals +1.5, and yes, people, I do lean Bears +1.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
That's great.
Do you have an opinion on Ohio State? They're playing here at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, so here's what's interesting about that huge number. What do they have after this week is what you want to look at.
Indiana. Yep.
Undefeated. Huge game. Huge point spread here. We're north of 28. I would be looking to Northwestern at 28.5 or better simply because if you're Ohio State, this game isn't really about the style points. It's about next week. Get in, get the job done, get out healthy. The committee already loves you. You don't need to blow out Northwestern. But along the same lines, I'd be looking at Penn State -28 over Purdue. Teams ranked 5-11, it is going to become a bit of a beauty pageant. Style points are going to matter. The Penn States of the world are going to want to run it up to justify their positioning. So I know that runs counter to what I said again about Ohio State, but it is a look-ahead spot, and they got to be smart, whereas Penn State needs to start piling it up because they're going to beat nobody of consequence this season. I'd be looking at Georgia -9.5 over Tennessee. Big bounce-back spot. Every report out of Athens is that Georgia's having a great week of practice. Tennessee quarterback's dinged up coming off the concussion protocol. Tennessee's offense has gone in the tank ever since they started SEC play. Kansas +2.5 over BYU. I think they spring the upset. Kansas is like 0-4 or 0-5 in one-score games this season. They're one of the unluckiest teams in college football. Meanwhile, BYU is one of the luckiest in college football. They're like 4-0 in one-score games. We're going to play the Jayhawks there. And then Texas and Arkansas over 57.5. That game has shootout written all over it. So to recap, Georgia -9.5, Kansas +2.5, Penn State -28, Northwestern +28.5, Texas, Arkansas over 57.5, and I love Florida over LSU. LSU just racked up their third loss of the season. Even though mathematically they can still compete for the SEC title, you come off the bye, you get hammered at home by Alabama. Three losses, it looks like the playoffs are done. This could be the ultimate flat spot. Florida's been playing well as of late this second half of the season. They took Tennessee to overtime. They walloped Kentucky. They fought Georgia hard with a third-string quarterback. I like Florida to spring the upset over LSU.
Wow, that's great stuff,
Joe. What about Tyson? What about Mike Tyson? I know
Tyson, Jake Paul.
Come on.
Great question. This might be my favorite bet, to be honest, of everything. I'm glad you remember this. I didn't have it in my notes for you guys today. I was so fixated on how the Bears are going to kick the crap out of the Packers, I lost sight of everything else. This fight, I'm betting over 5.5 rounds.
Wow.
Over 5.5. Everyone's thinking knockout. Everyone's thinking this. They're thinking that. They're betting with their hearts on Tyson. Look at the rules for the fight. It is a huge ring. It is huge gloves, okay? Much bigger gloves than they use in this division normally. 2-minute rounds instead of three. All of the rules are designed for this fight to go deep, okay? If you want a first-round knockout, you don't have a huge ring with big gloves and 2-minute rounds. You have a 5-minute round with a small ring and no gloves whatsoever. So they're setting this thing up, in my opinion, for it to run deep. I think there's a feeling out period early. Again, only 2-minute rounds, over 5.5. Your boy likes that one a lot.
I got to tell you, I would love to see like a bare knuckle fight where Mike Tyson just hits that kid in the face several times.
I think everybody wants to see that.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see that, Joe.
I want a bloodbath, Joe.
Molly, what would the good Lord say about this?
Oh, he'd frown upon me. But that wouldn't be for the first time.
It's been a long week, Joe. You got to understand a lot of frustration in Chicago.
Yeah.
How about we go for the knockout, the Joe Fornball knockout parlay? Mike Tyson and the Chicago Bears. How's that sound?
How about that?
Man, that sounds
you're
like
the best, Joe.
Yeah, you're
by the way, Joe,
catering to us.
Love the suit today. Looking great. Yeah,
thank you.
Love this.
Thank you.
Suit.
I appreciate it. You're a man of style yourself. You understand when you see a good look. It's a very good look on TV. Thank you very much. I do what I can. To be honest, I can sit here and bang my chest all day on it. It's my wife. She picks out all of it. Any day you see me on TV and you question the decision-making with the color schemes or the shirt or the pocket square, just know that she's out of town and I had to make the decision myself.
Joe, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Love you, boys. Love you, Chicago. Go Bears.
How about that? You know, we're getting a Tyson Bears knockout punch.
Getting a parlay.
Oh, man.
Gotta love Joe.
Let's go.
Good
Joe's
stuff.
The best. All right. Mully and Haw will be right back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.